This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to an all-new episode of the Polykill Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I'm Travis. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TravPlaysGames. And sitting across from me, as always, wearing mostly a black t-shirt, but this time with gray sleeves, and a fresh haircut, the one and only, the McAxel.
Welcome, everybody, to the 68th episode of the Polykill Podcast. We're one away from 69, which is kind of a big deal. You want to tell everybody what's a big deal?
Well, it's a big deal because sometimes the lady will get on top.
Right.
And the guy will get on the bottom.
Yeah.
And he'll be like in a six.
Yeah.
And she'll be mostly doing what you might call a nine.
Sure. That's why 69 is a big deal. It's a sex position.
It is a sex position.
But that's next episode. We're talking about 68. 68, this is a brand new episode. We're going to talk about the games we've beat. We're going to talk about the games we've bought. We're going to talk about the games you've beat. And we're going to talk about E3.
That's right. And, you know, a podcast around E3 wouldn't be an E3 podcast unless you talked about E3 in it.
Well, you're damn right.
Mm-hmm.
You're goddamn right. And the reason why is because it's near...
The reason why is because it's near E3. No, I got you. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. And to go back to 69, which we love to do.
Always.
Next episode, we've sent out a poll on the Twitter, and we're asking folks, you know, what night of the week do you normally 69? And we've laid out a few for you. Thursday, the 14th.
Right.
Monday the 17th.
No, that's the 18th. Yep.
Monday the 18th.
Right.
Are you sure about that?
100%.
I might have made the troll. I might have made the poll incorrectly.
Okay.
Either way, Thursday,
Sunday or Monday.
We're doing Sunday too.
No,
that's
Monday,
Father's Day.
Monday or Tuesday. It's Thursday, Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
There we go.
It's on Twitter. It's in a poll. If you follow at Polykill Podcast or at Polykill, just at Polykill, right?
Just
is that our Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you follow that, you'll see there is a poll, and we're asking you, when would you like to 69 with us? We're going to be 69 and live for y'all. We want you to be there and watch.
Yeah.
And it'll be, you know, we did this for our 50th episode. We're going to do pretty much the same thing here, live on Twitch, that kind of thing. So
wow, it's been that long.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It was nearly, well, I guess at this point, 18 episodes ago.
Yeah, it's exactly
That's
right.
36 weeks ago.
Yep,
That's
indeed.
Crazy.
It's been a while.
Whoa!
And that went off without a hitch.
Yeah, a lot of pre-hitches though.
A lot of pre-hitches.
But
post-hitches were few and far between. So that was good.
Yes.
So please, if you have an opinion of what night you would like to partake in a 69-age between two men, please jump in there, vote, let us know when would be a good night for you because we want you to be there. We want as many people there as possible because you know it's. For a podcast with the sophomoric humor that we have, 69 is obviously a milestone.
Absolutely. And we can't skirt around this. We can't
do it.
We can't get by it. We have to engage it.
Like, you know, the STC pod guys had their big 69,
right.
And it's just a big thing. It's like a big celebration. Welcome to the 69 club. So that's what we want to do. So enough of that.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But be sure to either let us know or at least tune in, and we'll let you know on Twitter when that will be.
For sure.
Now, recently, Jake, I released that volume 4 of the old pickups video.
Yes,
where
you did.
I picked up. So did you watch it?
I sure did. You had that pop-up video.
Did a little pop-up video. Did a little fun stuff
I
there.
I enjoyed that.
Some good self-aware humor. It's
I
good
like
to call
it.
Yourself out a few times. And, you know, that was a lot of fun. So be sure to check that out on Twitter. If you're still interested in going to Chicago, there are still rooms available. We would like for you to come. You would need to, once again, go to cartridgeclub.org or ask a friend how to figure that out. Because, once again, it's buried on the internet somewhere. But you can figure out how to go book your room and get involved and be there. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Great to see you there. So we last week into July, the 26th through the 30th, 31st, 29th, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. And then Jake, that God of War video, is it?
It is forthcoming, and here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you know that I recently got a new laptop, because I guess half-ass posted about it on Twitter. I was like, I went from a second-gen i7 to an eighth-gen i5. And even though the i5 is considered to be, you know, inferior somewhat to the i7 processor, the generational, you know, I guess delta is still, you know, magnificent. So the i5 seems to be much faster. Anyway, I have a new laptop. It's got an HD webcam, so I'm going to use it to do the video. Before, I probably had to do it on my phone or something weird, and that kind of would have been awkward. So now I have a new laptop that I'm going to be, that I'm using, you know, recording the podcast on. So now that I have it, I've already got the outline. It's just a matter of you know, clearing off a spot in my schedule to make it happen. So it is going to happen very soon, I promise.
Well, I'm glad that you now have the correct tools to make it happen.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that.
Damn right.
All right, so recent pickups and on the radar. I didn't really pick up anything.
Neither did I.
I mean, naturally, I end up always picking up a few little odds and end games.
Well, you got a shit ton of manuals.
Did get another shit ton of manuals. Right. Once again, the pickup video is what that's for. You can look at that. But you know,
I'm going to ask this real quick before we move on.
Oh, yeah.
So pickup videos, I know that a lot of the people in the Cartridge Club community do pick up videos that aren't necessarily games. I see some records. I see some toys.
Mm-hmm.
I do see some you know, VHS or DVDs or whatever. Would you guys be interested in like record pickups videos by me?
Yeah.
Would you guys be interested in that? Hit me up on Twitter if you would be interested in that, because I'm, you know, I'm not huge into the record collecting, but I do visit the record shops or the thrift stores or the secondhand stores, pick up some cool things from now here and again. And I promise they're not all metal. Actually, most of them aren't metal.
What something you described to me earlier was like a Korean flute river dance?
No, it's Chick Corea, a jazz pianist, did an album called Voyage, and it's just piano and flute. And it's some wonderful like jazz. So I picked that up recently. So anyway, if you're interested in that, hit me up. I might start doing those just for funsies. So because I like talking about music, and you know, that'd be a fun way to do that, because I don't buy a lot of games, and clearly in the last 6 months I haven't bought any. So
true.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool, man. I really do. I think the versatility of your pickups would be among the most interesting things. Naturally, with games, you kind of know what you're going to get, but with records, there's a lot of unknown out there.
Right. I think the joy of buying something like that, aside from games, because when you buy games, you kind of have a preconception of what they are.
What I want going in. Yeah.
Yeah. When you go out to look for records or movies or toys or something, you kind of just, you get what you get, and it's kind of a more adventure in picking those things up, and you don't necessarily plan to get those things.
Yeah, dude. Do it. Share it with us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
For anyway, shizzle.
Hit me up if you are interested. Moving on.
Yeah, so like I said, you know, naturally I picked up a few things, but nothing to highlight in this section.
Mm.
But I do have something on my radar.
What's on your radar?
It's that Jurassic World Evolution game.
This one seems neat.
It does seem neat. I thought you would not like it for some reason. When I heard about it, I thought it would be the kind of thing you would roll your eyes at and be like, ah, it's not for me.
Interesting, because I do think this is probably 100% the smartest Jurassic Park idea for a game that I've seen in a very long time, because there were some horrible attempts at that. I think there was a Telltale attempt at a Jurassic Park game. There was at least a couple others that just, you know, they tried to turn them into action games or something like that. And that's, I don't know. That doesn't make a lot of sense. This, however, makes a lot of sense.
It does. Building your own Jurassic Park. And
right. Trying to keep those dinos contained.
Yeah, man.
I mean, that's a brilliant idea. And so if you're into that like sim/management, you know, I guess to an extent an RTS environment where you're just sort of on this overworld map and managing electricity and building things and all that stuff. I mean, what a great idea.
I'm totally into it. I can't wait.
Really cool.
Yeah. It's going to be on PC, PS4, and Xbox One on June 12th.
Booyah.
So coming soon?
Yeah, very soon.
Pretty
exciting. Just a couple of weeks now.
Yep.
I obviously did not buy anything, so I guess I'm kind of in the twilight of my game buying, promise to everyone and myself that I wasn't going to buy games.
Yeah.
Prohibition. Prohibition. Yeah, I guess it's a good word for it. So I think sometime in June I can buy a game. I don't know. I mean, I guess a full 6 months would be the end of June.
Oh, that is true.
Technically. But I don't think anyone really cares at this point.
I kind of do.
You still kind of do. Okay, so I won't buy anything.
No, you buy what you want. We did at some point declare that it doesn't have to be 6 consecutive months.
We did. We did do that. And I do think I still have Mario Tennis Aces on pre-order. So that, I think that arrives sometime mid-month. So I'll be getting that.
Yeah, that'll be probably on your next radar segment or pickup segment. Yeah.
Probably will be. So there's that. So I didn't buy anything otherwise. I downloaded State of Decay from Game Pass. Still have not even played the damn thing.
I've heard that it's as similarly as unpolished as the first in some regard.
I've also heard this.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily care about that if it's fun to play with bros.
Right. That's the thing. It would have to be fun with other people.
Right. I've heard that it is.
Right. Because I did try to play the first one, and it's like, it's weird, because on paper, it's a game I should love, but when I played it, I was like, there's something about it that I don't like. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
It lacks some personality.
Yeah, something about it. Yeah.
So hopefully, in the next little bit, I'll jump into that. We'll see. But on my radar is a game that Brian and I have talked about, not at length, but occasionally will come up in conversation. You and I are both big fans of the developer Don't Nod, who did the wonderful Life is Strange series, and this is Vampire. Or if you're probably way too in love with yourself, you would probably call it Vampyr.
That's what I would have said.
Like some sort of asshole.
Yeah, I would have absolutely said Vampyr.
You would have.
Yeah.
But it's probably called Vampire because they're fucking vampires, not vampires. Anyway, you probably know about the game. It's set around the time of some plague. I don't remember which one, if it's Spanish flu or bubonic or whatever, but you're a doctor and you end up becoming a vampire. So you're feeding on these people that you're also trying to save at the same time. It's an interesting dichotomy, and I would actually like to play it. I do like the way Don't Nod handles narrative. It makes choices actually matter. I think it's a cool spot to be in as this doctor who's a vampire. What a great idea. I'm surprised someone hasn't written a TV show about this that gets canceled after one or two seasons because nobody watched it.
Right, but everybody loved the first season. The second season was a little bit disappointing, but they wouldn't have minded a third season.
Right, because there's some loose ends in the second
season.
But it still got canceled,
yeah.
And Netflix didn't pick it up.
But they will bring it back in 10 years when all the actors are a little bit older,
right.
And half of them have been alleged of sexual abuse, and now it's weird. Nobody really wants to watch it anymore, and it's kind of touchy.
It's kind of touchy, but you can't break continuity, so you bring them back.
Yeah.
Right, they said, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Are we talking about Arrested Development now?
A little bit, probably.
Okay.
Anyway, I do plan to play this game at some time. I don't know if I'll pay full price for it because I'm just kind of cheap nowadays. What with vehicle repairs and all this stuff going on, I'm just not spending a lot of money except on that giant tub of vodka that I brought you for the podcast.
I did say I would pay you back.
I know, I'm joking.
And if we're going to 69 later, I'm going to need a lot more than that.
Nah, it's a couple weeks from now, so we just keep drinking until then, I guess.
Fair enough.
Anyway, that wraps up the radar.
Yeah, what happened last time?
Let's check it out.
Previously on Polykill, Trav sort of invents a new Spanish word, and Jake doesn't really beat any games. He did beat an episode of a game, and not to beat a dead horchacho, it's not the same thing. Trav restocks with Shining Force 2 while Jake gets back onto Horizon Zero Dawn. Trav and Jake get a little raunchy at the end of the show as listeners post questions about how their hairdo is downstairs. Games potentially leaked, and their chances of being real serve as the topic of discourse.
Well, that's what happened last time. A lot of horchacho.
A lot of horchacho. And still sounds like some sort of cinnamony drink.
To you, yes.
Yeah.
To me, still a horse. And
right.
I'm not done with horchacho. I'm going to beat that dead horchacho with another dead horchacho.
That seems redundant.
I love the word.
I don't blame you. It's phonetically pleasing.
Yeah, you said you got back into Horizon. How many dongs?
Zero.
No dongs. And, you know, I was just piddling around. But it was, all in all, a pretty fun episode. We got those fun questions at the end.
I did like those.
We got to exercise a little bit of our raunchy side, which was fun.
Wow.
And we carried it right into the beginning of this episode.
I mean, I feel like we've exercised the raunchiness already.
Yeah.
In this episode.
We're going to continue to exercise it.
Yeah, we're going to keep exercising. We want that to grow.
All right, so we're just going to beat it. Yo, we're just going to beat it. And we're not going to play it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you
No, I didn't beat anything.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Fuck off.
Is that why you said LOL here?
A little bit.
That's
yeah.
Not a game?
It's not a game. It's not a game. It's just like, ha, 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 still haven't beat anything. I think I'm really close on Horizon. I gotta be close.
Okay.
Gotta be close at this point. So, by the next episode, I'm pretty sure that will be in the bag.
That sounds like an empty promise.
It might be, depending on the next 2 weeks ago, but it hopefully is not, and hopefully I'll be able to knock it out.
Now, I personally have had very little time to play games, I've learned recently, for all of my shortcomings in life, where I have extreme imposter syndrome in everything that I touch. I don't feel like I should be doing what I do for a job. I don't even feel like I should be on a gaming podcast.
It's not true.
I watch a lot more basketball than I do play video games most of the time, you know? I don't really know where I fit in the world, but I do think one thing that I'm really good at is budgeting my time.
Okay.
I think I'm a very efficient person.
Okay.
Which is how I'm able to walk away with beating three games in a week where I was at home maybe an hour.
That's crazy.
I somehow managed it.
That's incredible.
So I ended up beating Batman Return of the Joker on the NES. Now, fortunately, this game has infinite continues, or else I would not have beaten it because it is a bastard.
Okay.
It's a very, very bastard. Is that a thing you can say about something that it is very bastard?
I don't know if bastard works in that context, but we'll go with it.
Okay. Well, it's still the Sunsoft. You know how I love the Sunsoft when they make, especially, I guess, that era. They made some good platformers. Mm-hmm. I like the recent Daffy Duck Martian Game Boy bullshit one that I played that I liked.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then, of course, the 1989 Batman the video game was made by Sunsoft, and
right.
I just love that.
Love that.
Love that.
Even though the difficulty spike near the end nearly killed you.
Yeah, but still just the right amount of challenge. I just feel like the challenge was just... I did that thing that the Italian people are said to do
right.
when they do things, when they like something, like a thing.
Kiss the tips of their fingers and then pull them apart as they move them away from their face.
With a kissy sound.
Right, kissy sound, yeah.
That's what I did. This is still made by Sunsoft.
Okay.
It's not... Now
is this the Joker... I feel like I know the cover of this in my brain. Mm-hmm. Tell me if I'm wrong. Is this the Batman the Animated Series Joker as voiced by Mark Hamill?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
But I imagine he's not voiced in the NES version.
There are no voices.
Right.
Right.
Which is a trying... Yeah, it's a fucking shame.
Well, they... How, what are they going to do?
I don't know.
What's it going to sound like? You know?
I don't know.
Just like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, so the first one was based on the Tim Burton movie, 1989 movie, and it actually follows it really closely. There's a lot of little cut scenes, and you can follow the movie along, and you know, it's decent. For an NES game, it follows
color,
pretty close.
It does those movie screenshots?
Yeah. Okay. It does pretty good. It at least tries to follow the story. It doesn't, like a lot of those NES games, just fucking...
Right. They just go off on tangents.
Wow. This one, I've never actually read that comic book, so I don't really know how true to the source material that it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Obviously, the art style is still an 8-bit NES game.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I think most of it's just the cover, mm-hmm. I guess, is the only tie.
Okay.
You still fight a lot of the same dudes or whatever. Similar game, but I still think that first one's just so much better.
Okay.
So much better. But yeah, I did beat it.
Nice.
It's kind of good to beat.
Very cool.
And then I beat Rhyme. So... I gotta say, I was pretty tepid on the game for 98% of it.
Okay.
And then the very end of the game
mm-hmm.
was pretty cool.
I gotta say, like, I don't want to talk spoilers, but I have to say, like, once you get to the end and you kind of realize what has happened, it's pretty incredible. Like,
that
a game was made about this.
Right.
I think it's unique subject matter. It's unique take on the idea. And I think it was extremely well done.
It has both an obvious ending and an ambiguous ending at the same time. You pretty much know,
and by obvious you mean explicit.
Like you're like, oh, okay, like you understand it.
That's
and,
what happened.
And you get feels, but then you part of you are like, okay, so what was some of this journey about?
Right
you kind of like who's filling in the gaps. It's pretty interesting in that regard, that it, you know, and it's something it kept me thinking about it after I beat it. Which was neat.
Yeah,
which happened earlier today, by the way. So no, I'm not saying it's been a couple weeks.
Gotcha.
Like, I beat it. It's hours ago at this point. But
still.
It has some gravity to it, which I really enjoyed.
Right.
Because a lot of the game is free-floating. It's floaty. It's beautiful. It's just a little bit of an adventure. It's a little bit of a journey. It feels whimsical. It seems very lighthearted in some regard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the end and you're like, oh, shit, look at that. Look at how crazy that is.
How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So I really did like it for that reason. And I think... The whole time I was kind of wondering, like, what people were getting out of it, because
mm-hmm.
you expressed your love for it.
I did.
Very, you know, straightforwardly. You're like, this game is...
Magical.
Magical. You said magical.
I said magical.
And
I had very specific moments in mind when I said magical.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily mean the entire experience.
Sure,
magical.
Sure. And I was playing it, looking for it, and, you know, if someone built something up like that, and you're just...
Sure.
You're just kind of looking for, like, a why, or mm-hmm. in your head, maybe you're looking for reasons to cut it down, because you're like, I don't know, this doesn't do anything for me, or whatever. I was kind of, like, mellow on it. You know, there's some peaks. There's more peaks than valleys, but then the very end, I mean, just bumped the whole thing up for me.
Nice.
Like, it just transcended it to a whole new level. So, that's me encouraging people, play that game, play it all the way through.
It's on Game Pass if you have Xbox Game Pass.
And again, I don't want to overstate it. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to set any false expectations, because it's very much... A simplistic game with some puzzles and some traveling, you know, some slight exploration and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. But it's got it builds to such a good point.
I think the way I would describe the game, aside from saying magical, is that it does a lot with a little, because there's no UI, there's not, you know, an arrow telling you where to go. But the game design is as such where you never really feel lost. And mechanically, it's very straightforward, but it also... You still feel a sense of accomplishment when you do these things that are still kind of simple to do.
Yeah, it honestly does nothing new.
No.
It just does a lot of things well.
Correct.
Yeah. So, yeah,
cool.
Play it.
Glad you liked it.
That's another game that's endorsed by the Polyco Podcast.
Boom.
Well, there's a few of them.
Ship it.
But that's another one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then lastly, that old Barfly 5.
Barfly 5.
You know.
Yeah. Now, I believe the descriptor you've given to the ending of the game, not spoiling, is spicy.
Now, and I stole that from one Miles McGinnis of
so
the
Miles
Flock of Nerds.
Said spicy.
And then I'm just agreeing.
And then Travis is like, hey, look, I'm cool. I'll call it spicy.
Well, once I got, that's true. I did want to be cool. And also think when I got to the end, I was like, there's really no better word than spicy.
Spicy.
And I say that because the rest of the game.
Because the bad guy dies in a giant vat of salsa.
Yeah. Yeah. Picante.
There we go.
New York City. Yeah. No, it's just a lot of it is. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get my words right for this because I haven't given this thought, but a lot of the game feels. Like I told you, I was disappointed by the subject matter not being as gritty and dark as
more
I thought it should have been.
More whimsical than you anticipated.
Right. I guess, you know, I was looking for something when I think Dark Cults. I mean, I guess I'm leaning more towards something more Resident Evil 7 than, I don't know, something more zombified. You know, I don't know. Yeah. Well, yeah, that doesn't make sense either because Resident Evil 7 is kind of zombies. But yeah, something, there's too many fucking colors in Far Cry 5. It should be dark and America's fucked and we're all fucked and it's dark and everybody's fucked. But it didn't really feel like that. It felt, you know, there was a lot of hope in Hope. Hope is the name of the county.
Okay.
But then you get to the end of the game and this is not a spoiler at all, but it, it thematically shifts darker and in a very good way.
Okay.
And I think it's a way that you probably wouldn't see coming in the game.
Nice.
It doesn't telegraph this ending at all. And this, God, I hope this doesn't spoil or ruin it for anybody. I'm not setting any big twist expectations up, but I do think it's worth playing to the end because it culminates in a very satisfying way. And I thought...
No, that's not a spoiler at all.
I thought it redeemed its... Sort of what I thought was as a shortcoming in terms of the story redeemed itself based on the ending.
Okay.
So much like Rhyme. I like the endings of both. I was kind of mellow on them, and then the very end, I was like, God damn, look at that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Very cool. I think that's an interesting take because, you know, I think, I think you were very much looking forward to Far Cry 5. And to play through it still feeling kind of mediocre means that you had fun.
Oh, yeah.
And I
will say I had like a 9.5 out of 10 of fun.
Okay.
I love the series.
Far Cry is a great playground.
Yeah.
Always has been. And same could be said of Rhyme, where obviously, you know, that's a somewhat shorter experience. Mm. So it's an easy plow through to beat. Yeah. So, but anyway, I think it's interesting that that happened with two games this time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and if I, you know, because I'm such a Far Cry fan, I've not played the first two. I'll say
they're,
but the modernized take,
sure.
The 3, 4, and 5,
3+.
I still think three.
Need to play Primal.
I do need to play Primal. You're right.
Fucking do it.
So, but of the numbered, the last three numbered ones, 3, 4, and 5,
mm-hmm.
I gotta say 3 is still my favorite.
Is that because of Voss?
A lot of it's because of Voss. A lot of it, I think, is just the newness of the series impacted me. You know, it's sort of like your first time. You know, it was my first kiss.
Mm.
You know, it was my first time being in a world like that. That wasn't. I mean, to me, it felt like being in Skyrim or being in Fallout, but like in modern day, I felt like you know, it was very similar.
I think
in that regard.
The IGN quote was Skyrim with guns.
Fair enough. All right, maybe I should just work for IGN instead of coming and seeing you every couple of weeks.
Goddamn right.
And then 4 and 3 are very closely related. They're almost the exact same game, to be quite honest.
Yeah, 4 feels like the next gen version of 3 because it, you know, similar kind of environment, similar take on a villain,
right?
And you know, vehicles not a whole lot different. And I don't know. I agree that 4 was basically 3.5.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed 5. And I think I would say 4 and 5 are almost equal to me.
Okay.
And I think the reason, you know, the obvious differences are there's like less things to kill you in the world. So they made up for it by adding more bad guys.
Okay.
Because they're really just bears, snakes, and
cliffs.
Yeah. Bears, snakes, there's some skunks. They don't really kill you though. You know, there's not as much wildlife that can hurt you.
Right. Yeah. They're not throwing hippos and crocodiles and
shit. Yeah. And so, you know, just but it's nice being in the U.S. You know, get to see some Montana, a new world. It's not all tropical. It's a little bit different. It's the north, or whatever you call that part of the United States, the north middle, middle earth.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
It's kind of middle earth, Montana.
Middle of earth.
Yeah. I'm sure it's close to the middle anyway. Yeah. So yeah, it was cool. I like it.
Very nice.
Yeah. So that's it. That's all I've beaten. I beat Rhyme, Far Cry 5, and an NES game.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
That's what I did.
I guess it's time to move on to the Just Beat It / Polykillers.
Just Beat It. Come on. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So Ryan at It's a Rocket Sauce, who argues Spread Eagle is the best way to receive a gibber, beat Halo Combat Evolved, God of War, Wild Guns Reloaded, and Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney.
You know, it's good to see the Rocket back, because he hasn't been on a beat list in a long time.
Very long time.
And I think he might have moved recently.
No excuse.
May have even switched to Mustard, for all we know.
You got a Game Boy?
And yeah, well, he did beat Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, so he was on the move there.
He's got some 3DS, maybe.
And he might even have a Switch. Was Wild Guns Reloaded on the Switch, or is that PS4?
Boy, I feel like that's on a lot of stuff.
Probably on a lot of stuff. You know, who knows?
Yeah,
it's probably in the tweet. I don't have the tweet here in front of me.
I don't have the tweet.
But it's good to see the sauce back, and it's good to see him as being among the elite in a Polykill segment right now.
Boy, that feels good.
Happy to see you back, Souse.
Yeah, so I think you beat two greatest games of their generation, one being Halo Combat Evolved, and God of War.
Yeah. Well, of course, Halo was one of the games of the month.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But I still feel like it was the defining game of the OG Xbox generation.
When I think of the year 2001, I think of Halo Combat Evolved, Mountain Dew, and Limp Bizkit.
Well, that pretty much sums it up.
Yep. And then Cliff at Cliff Hikes, he is this episode's supreme polykiller.
Oh.
The award winner of this episode. Cool. He can go ahead and
polykiller supreme.
Yeah, he can go ahead and tattoo episode 68 right there on his old scrotum. He says, or he doesn't say shit, actually. I'm saying this. Cliff at Cliff Hikes, who went the fuck off this week and had more beats than a Kanye album, finished Alien Soldier, Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle, Mega Man 2 and 3, Uncharted Drake's Fortune, Titan Souls, Darkwing Duck, Skyforce Anniversary, and Titanfall 2.
Titanfall 2.
We haven't seen that level of beatage since the days that Dean and Musty were going at it. Do you remember that?
That's absolutely true. Yeah, they were
JD,
like neck and neck.
Remember that? We had beats of 9, 10, 11 games in an episode span.
Insane.
We haven't seen that since then, so hats off to Cliff.
So, I want to comment on this smorgasbord of games here. One, Skyforce Anniversary, this is a game that you, me, and Briz played that one time when we beat Evil Within, when we got done pretty early in the sesh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's play a shmup, and we played this. Pretty cool game.
I like it a lot. A
lot of fun.
Yeah.
Also, I will mention Titan Souls. Goddamn. That's impressive. Because Titan Souls is like this mix between Legend of Zelda and Dark Souls, or actually maybe a better analog would be, what's that game where you fight all the big things? Not Monster Hunter, but the PlayStation exclusive, Shadow of the Colossus. It's like a mixture of Legend of Zelda and Shadow of the Colossus.
But I hear it's a little bit short.
It's short, but it's still difficult.
Okay.
It's still
hats off. I mean, the Mega Bands aren't easy. Shit. And Darkwing Duck, I know that's tough.
That's impressive.
Seen that firsthand.
So good job, Cliff, at Cliff Hikes.
Dude, Cliff was fucking hiking. Let me tell you that.
That's awesome. So the rest of these Beat Its, all the ones that you tweeted out, that didn't get you into these top two here, they will be in a separate video that you will find on our YouTube channel very, very soon.
Yeah, we usually do a little mouth stuff, a little ear stuff. We keep it interesting.
Right, this time we might even do some
nose stuff?
I don't know. I was going to say something else, but I'll save it for episode 69.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. You're saving that shit. All right, let's put shit back on the log. We're stuck in the log.
Yeah.
I just had to add something here to say something in the segment because I love the transition,
mm-hmm.
and we have to keep doing it.
Absolutely.
But it's a game that I haven't spoken about in a long time, mm-hmm. and it's already on my backlog. I just wanted to say, hey, I've beaten some games, and I'm going to focus in on this bad boy.
Okay.
Batman Enemy Within, the Telltale. Sequel.
And this is the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Have you started it at all yet?
I haven't played a lick. Just kind of declaring it, just kind of calling myself out and being like, yo, Trav, get up in that Batman.
You're clearing off a spot and throwing a fit.
Is that a threat?
I don't know. That's what my dad used to say.
He used to say that. He used to threaten you with that?
No, he would, you know, like when, I don't know, when he felt like self-assured and was getting assertive.
He would say what again?
He'd say, I'm going to clear off a spot and throw a fit.
Oh. So basically, that's kind of nice. Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to throw things. I'm actually going to clear a little space.
Right. Here's my designated fit throwing area.
I'm going to have a tantrum right here.
Right here.
Everybody watch out.
I like it.
If you're ready to have a tantrum, you better watch out, because Caltech's got you. This episode is sponsored by Calden Technologies, LLC. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. To learn more or to start a conversation about your future product or idea, go ahead and send that email out. Send it to info@calden.tech. That is I-N-F-O. Wow, why'd I spell that out? You know how to spell info. info@cowdn.tech.
All right. Thank you once again, Caltech, for sponsoring this and pretty much all of our episodes.
Yes, every single episode that we have ever had. I'd love to be sponsored by Gildan Underwear. I know one of the most, I wanted to point this out because it really made me laugh upon rehearing the episode that we did. You asking if Gildan was a method of wrapping a rag around one's penis as a method of serving as underwear, I think was...
Boy, I don't even remember that. What episode was this?
This was the last episode.
Jesus. Was I, like, asleep doing that episode?
You're as high as you are now. Yeah. Okay. It was, yeah, I brought up Gildan underwear, and you said, is that a method of wrapping a rag around it? And I thought that was genius. I didn't catch it in the moment, but it was very good.
Okay.
If you like what you're hearing so far, you can put a rag around it. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/polykillpodcast. They swear they didn't mean it, and they're going to do better. Have you heard? Have you seen the ad?
No.
Yeah, they're you know, bring family together. Facebook says we didn't mean to be bad. Cartridgeclub.org. That's where you can find out how and where you can get to Chicago and hang out with the rest of our friends.
Yeah,
drop us a line there on the forum. Polykill.com is where you can find all of our stuff about 2 weeks late. Polykillpodcast@gmail.com is where you can send us an email. We're also on Spotify.
Goddamn right.
Please rate us on iTunes or whatever service you use. Please do that. Please, God, do that.
Please.
And then youtube.com/polykillpodcast is where you can find our pickup videos, our Just Beat It videos, and Jake's up-and-coming God of War review video and his vinyl pickup video.
Yeah, you never know.
Assuming that
might just do that.
People say they like it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We're going to talk through the foreplay now. So this is the games that we are playing.
Grinding on.
You know, just rubbing up against in the crotchal region.
Crotchal.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
It is an Anchorman, so I'm going to...
Did they say crotchal?
He says crotchal.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to go first.
Yeah, please.
So I'm going to continue talking about a game that I talked about last time, probably, which is Horse Island Zero Dawn.
No dong on that island.
No dong. But once again, Horizon Zero Dawn, I am way late to beating this game. I am in the final throes, I believe, of this game. I'm still very impressed with the world, characters, the lore, the combat, everything. Like I'm not going to overstate and restate my, I guess, adoration and in general just reaction to how impressed I am with how this team who had made shooters for ages made this third person
Killzone, yeah,
open world stuff. Yeah, so I'm really excited to do this. I am really anticipating. This is not going to get into the discussion later, but I am anticipating that there's going to be, you know, a big follow up to this at some point.
Yeah, did Frozen Wilds, right? That's a thing,
right? I haven't played that. I don't even own it.
You don't even own it. Okay, I was curious if you might move into that.
I might. I mean, depending on how hungry the finale leaves me, I might.
So you were really high on this game early. I mean, obviously, you really were. You know, from the moment it was announced, you were much higher on it than me. You obviously bought it. You played it.
Right.
I feel like at some point you got a little tepid on it. You said, you know, after you had played, what was it? You played something else that sort of overshadowed it, I think, in terms of gameplay. And now you're back in it. Do you feel a little bit different about it? Do you appreciate it more or less?
I don't think I appreciate it more than I did. I think it's at a certain point, I think I've explored the mechanics to the extent to which they can be explored. And of experience, you know, the beauty of the world and the diversity of the biomes and all that. And I'm really ready to just sort of wrap the story up.
Mm.
So, like, I found myself sort of just mainlining the story and not taking shortcuts necessarily because I don't think you can, but also I'm avoiding conflicts whenever I can so I can, you know, advance the story. Because I do want to see what happens more than I want to experience the gameplay. Because I think I've gotten my, not necessarily feel of that, but I think I've experienced all that I can. That happens.
I mean, you and I were obviously not 100%ers. We're not platinum trophiers.
Right.
Not gonna happen. We're high volume beaters.
Yeah.
We like to beat it all the time.
Beat them.
Yeah. We like them. Yeah. So, I mean, naturally, and I think we're in the majority, honestly.
Yeah.
People that platinum and 100% games, just hats off to them. I don't have the patience.
Yeah, I don't either.
I tire of them.
I don't know that I love a game, almost any game, to platinum it.
Yeah. I mean, games these days just come out with a lot of content.
A lot of content.
It's almost impossible a lot of the times, but usually you get to that point where you're like, let's just get this over with.
Yeah, let's just move on.
Yeah. So I don't blame you there. For me, I've started Titanfall 2.
So you've jumped into the campaign?
Drop them out.
Yeah.
Titanfall.
So what do you think so far?
Zip, zop, zoop. That's all I can think about when I play.
Such a fun.
A lot of zipping.
Zip, zop, zoop.
Yeah. A lot of zopping. Let me tell you, a little zooping. Every which way. Now, it's drawn a lot of direct comparisons to Doom.
Hmm.
Thematically, I like Doom more. And I like Doom.
It's more metal, more badass.
And it has more of a history than I like, you know. But Titanfall 2 is like right behind it. Man, it's great.
It's crazy.
It's so fast, technically sound. You maneuver really quickly. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of mindless, too.
Right. You don't have to necessarily pay 100% attention to it.
Have you gotten
to any way what I would call boss fights?
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe.
You'll get almost a Borderlands style announcement to the bosses.
Okay. Maybe I haven't then.
Okay. Yeah. It's pretty fun.
I'm maybe an hour and a half in.
Okay. So yeah, you're maybe an eighth of the way through.
I've gone through a world where there's like manufactured living facilities being flip-flopped and flooped.
Oh.
Around.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's one of my absolute favorite segments of the game, mm-hmm. because what an original idea to put make that a shooter level, because that's definitely something you would see in another type of game.
Yeah.
You know, like a whimsical adventure, not necessarily this, futuristic military shooter.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. Yeah. I'm into it.
Love it.
Yeah, a lot of zip-zopping and zooping, though.
Yeah, boing, boing.
And then the other thing I've been tooling around in is Shiny Horchacho 2.
Shiny Horchacho
2. Shiny Horchachos.
Right.
That's Shining
That's
Force 2.
Wagon.
Which is a joke from last time about right. Shining Force, which I called Shining Horse, which is Shining Horchacho, which is a mixing word I made up for horse. Okay, so this is your first episode.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Welcome. Filling you in.
Yeah.
I found that this game is lovingly just like the first one.
I'm going to branch out on something a little bit here.
Okay.
Now, the first game, you didn't even hear.
No.
Have you heard this one?
No, I don't give it. I don't care.
Wow. See, I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that I could play an entire game without knowing what it sounds like.
I mean, it sounds like this. It goes... Nah, nah, nah,
you don't know that. You haven't heard it.
Now, who cares what it sounds like?
It may be amazing. You may be missing out on an amazing thing.
You know, I can't miss out on it because there's YouTube, and I can look up the soundtrack. Which it could be good. It could be great. It's fine. It's the perfect game to not need to listen to.
I don't blame you.
You know,
just to not tap in for 20 minutes.
I know. Well, the problem is I can't because I don't have speakers I don't have an audio output from the Genesis
to
that BVM.
That's a personal problem.
Well, I mean, it kind of is. It's a technical problem that is personal. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I don't know. It's bizarre to me.
I bet it sounds great. Does that make you feel better? It sounds... It's humming and humming.
I don't know what that means.
Whom, whom. It's got a lot of ambience and whatever. The words you use in one of your music reviews. It's got a lot of ambient, dark shugazi.
Humming.
Hemming and humming.
Okay,
you know, Titanfall zip-zopping and zooping. This is hemming and humming.
Hemming and humming, okay.
Yeah, all kinds of noise, I'll bet, inside of there. But no, it's good. So anyway, comparing it to the first game,
mm-hmm.
menu system, slightly better.
Okay.
Remember how that bugged me? A lot of menu-ness.
Menus are always a bugaboo with nearly any RPG you play.
Well, and one of the issues that I had with it was, you had to access a menu to, talk, you know? It's like... It's almost like an old school adventure game.
Did not prompt itself.
Yeah, it's like old school adventure game. It's like would you like to talk to this person, search them, or you know what I mean?
Okay,
like
gotcha,
that whole
gotcha.
Thing. Now in Shining Force 2, you can just walk up to them, hit a button, and it starts talking
Boom,
to them, the same button will just interact with something. Mm. If that's the only thing you can do with it, which is good. You don't have to go through the whole menu.
Gotcha.
Like,
do you want to search this rock?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk to this rock?
Right.
Gotcha.
It got rid of a little bit of that. Mm. But it still uses the same menu system for everything else.
Okay.
So, in some regards, it's better in that way. But more of the same, which is great.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Combat system is very much the same. It seems like they've, a lot of the little imbalance issues that it might have had during combat have been ironed out a little bit.
Okay.
And from what I hear, what I see, it's a longer experience. Like the first one, maybe 18 to 20 hours. This one being more like 30 to 35. So it's more of a game.
That's girthy.
A lot of girth.
Yeah.
And for those types of games, those like real time strategy, tactical strategy games, mm-hmm. that time flies, man.
Oh, for sure.
Like
because yeah.
Oh my God! It's those types of games, whether it be a Civilization or something like this, like. Minutes or hours, it just goes.
Yeah,
so you don't even feel it.
Shit that happens.
Yeah, you don't feel it. So, and that's why I like it. I think I just get sucked in for hours, and before I know it, the game's over, and I love every minute of it. So
that's awesome.
Liking it so far. All
right. Get tea.
All right, that does it for the games we're diddling on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take it into the disc here. What time are we at? I feel like we're flying right now.
Oh, we're not flying.
What are we at? 6 hours?
No, about six and a half.
Okay.
No, we're good.
Well, we had some last time we enjoyed the questions that we got from Twitter.
Yeah.
We just kind of we hammed it out there. We didn't expect anything. We got a few things.
We liked it.
But we did it again because it's fun.
We did.
What do you do? One question from Mighty Q Dog. Mm-hmm. What are your guilty pleasure games?
Okay.
Now, do you have anything that you wouldn't tell anybody about but you play it anyway?
See, yeah, and this is kind of a non-answer,
mm-hmm.
but I do not believe in guilty pleasures of any kind, whether it's games, movies, TV shows, music, whatever. I believe that you should like what you like, and if people rib you about it, then that's kind of their problem for
Unless
being insecure.
What you like is illegal.
Well, that's not really guilty pleasure then, is it?
I mean, you're guilty of it.
Well,
so legally, you are guilty.
That's a good point. but, I mean, there are games that I would say that maybe that people wouldn't expect me to enjoy.
We'll share that.
Maybe that. I really like the very simplistic games like Overcooked, which is not nearly as intense or, you know, demanding. It's just very, you know, one button and a control stick. I enjoy that. I wouldn't say there's anything that, you know, especially if you're a longtime listener, I can't imagine of anything that, that I would play that you guys would be absolutely shocked at, or that I would be embarrassed to talk about.
Like, yeah.
It's just not there for me. And I can see myself like playing almost any game unless it's just like some weird pervy shit.
Yeah.
That's where I would draw the line, but that's
like
not some really weird, guilty
like,
pleasure.
Like the school shooter game on Steam. Like, right. Get that out of here. Not
would
touching
not
that.
Do that. Yeah. But I would definitely play something like, you know, Dream Daddy dating thing or like
I almost said Dream Daddy daycare, but that sounds gross. That's it's not that. Weirder. It's
but like the Hotiful Boyfriend where you're like a pigeon and you got to find dates.
Yeah.
I would absolutely play that. I have
tried it. Kind of boring. A lot of reading, and I don't write.
You don't like the reading.
Who does?
Yeah, I guess I do. But like I think that's a good question. But like I said, my answer is kind of a general non-answer. I guess I could
align with you in that regard. You shouldn't feel guilty about it. But as you surround, like, you know, in this community, you surround yourself with a lot of people who are hardcore gamers and that kind of thing. And a lot of people scoff at the old sports game, man. They don't like it. They say, get that out of here.
I mean, that's more of a community thing.
They say, get that out of here, you old jock playing your old sports games. Go back to jock
penis,
gaming.
Your old penis rep and jock.
Yeah, you get your Gildans. Yeah. Yeah, so I guess playing sinking a lot of time in sports games, man, and I still would if I didn't really have so many goals in mind right now for beating a lot of, you know, historically relevant or historically important games, which is the kick I've been on for like 6 years now, which is why we have this podcast about beating games.
Right.
I would totally just be straight sports in.
That's impressive.
Straight sports in it because I love it.
I think there's a lot of, I guess for lack of a better term, I'll call it inbred thinking sometimes in the gaming community. And I think any time you get a community based around something, once you all sort of arrive at the same conclusions or you have the same discussions, it's easy for things to become not taboo, but like passé. Like if you're in the music community, like there are certain bands or certain genres that are like, I'm so sick of it. Or if you're like in a car community, it's like, I hate Hondas. And it's like, but like as someone who's more of a casual observer or just there for the fun and enjoyment, that none of that stuff makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's kind of me with sports games because like I don't give a shit.
Sports games are even like a little Call of Duty multiplayer. I can admit that's fun as shit.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely.
If I know the map.
Yeah. Well, know. Right. You got to know the map.
Got to know the map. Yeah. All right. That was a question from Mighty Q-Dog. Thank you. That's fun.
Yeah.
Josh Leslie says, top three worst game purchases, like games you hate yourself for buying or loathe the very existence of.
Okay.
Now, this is kind of a different question.
It is definitely a different question.
Like,
and this
you
is,
wasted your money on something.
Right.
You
this
know?
Is an economics problem.
No, for
this
sure.
This is also a, you know, a taste thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go first with one game, which is a game that I've brought up to you a couple of times, which is Armorines Project Swarm. Now, this is a game that was a shooter from Acclaim, fresh off of, you know, the hits like Turok and whatnot. And it launched on PS1 and N64. I was really excited about it to, you know, get in there and shoot some more stuff.
Shoot it up.
You were like these, you know, super enhanced cybernetic marines in these cool suits, and you were fighting these giant-ass bugs. Like, I was not someone I would consider in tune with what a good game versus a bad game or good development or level design or any of that. I was maybe 17 or 18 at the time. Would not consider myself, you know, in touch with that sort of thing. But my God, I knew then that it was a horrible, horrible, horrible game. And immediately gave up on the idea. But like to this day, that's a game that is infamous for being just ass.
But did your parents buy it for you?
No, I bought it.
You bought that with your own money?
Yeah.
What did you do with it? Did you trade it in or did you get rid of it?
I think I traded it in.
Burn it?
Yeah.
Ran over it?
I think I absolutely traded it in.
Man, for me, I've labored over this the entire time you described that. I was like, think of a game, think of a game, think of a game, think of a game. I'm too positive about most things. I'll find the good in something. I play some shitty games now, and I'm like, it's a six. And most people are like, dude, the game's dog ass. It's dog's ass. You literally put a controller in
like
a dog's
lift
ass
the tail
and played
at
a dog.
The dog's ass. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the one game that I was, I guess, I didn't like and was disappointed by, but it's not universally despised, was I can't remember the the subtitle, but it was a Prince of Persia game that was out on the PS3.
Okay.
And I really liked, like,
was it just the full reboot where it was kind of like cel-shaded graphics, yeah, and you were holding the princess's hand and running around and stuff?
I think, did not care for it. Now, I enjoyed, sure, Warrior Within and Sands of Time, and then I got this, and it was
an absolute departure from the previous three entries.
I guess that did it, and I hated it, and I didn't finish it, and yeah,
that's a good one.
It was during a time when I didn't have a lot of money, and I wanted to buy a game, and I played it, and I was like, son of a bitch, this is not what I wanted.
That's the worst, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to play a new game.
Yeah, and I was out of touch. I wasn't reading stuff.
You're not reading
stuff.
EGM.
It was like 10 years ago, I wasn't as up on things as I am now, obviously.
Right, which clearly, you're up on things now.
No, I'm not. but I'm more better than I was.
Yeah, so top three. So the second game that I would say that I hated the most was, you know, once again, one of these ignorant purchases that I made. Once again, in the N64 era, it was a game called Knife's Edge. And this was a game that I don't really know why I gave a shit about this game, but I was actually kind of excited to play it. It seemed cool. It was an attack helicopter. You know, I hadn't played a game like that since maybe like Nuclear Assault or Desert Strike. Desert Strike, Nuclear Strike. Hey, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I was thinking it was going to be something like that. So I bought the game. I still don't know why I expected something like that, but it's this on-rails shooter where you're just the nose gunner in a attack helicopter, and it's on-rails. You don't control anything except the cursor. It's like Time Crisis, but shitty, and you're just flying through like these canyons and mountains and stuff, shooting stuff, and I hated it, and I'm still mad at myself that I bought it to this day.
You sound upset.
I'm not upset anymore, Travis.
I honestly can't think of two more. And it's not that they don't exist. I don't think I hate any games that much. I don't know.
Okay.
I hate to not fulfill the requirement, sure, of having three.
Well,
it might come to me later. The one I point to is the one I said, and
I gotcha.
Honestly, no, I have another one.
Okay.
I have one more. This is the last one. It's the only one I got.
Okay, hit me.
It was like NBA Live, I want to say 2013.
No. This is somewhat recent.
Kinda. I guess. Maybe it was 2012, 2011. Still. I don't know. It was awful. I remember trying to play it. It was very hard. I would pass the ball down to the paint, and it just, the mechanics were shit.
Mm.
But that was when the NBA 2K series kind of took over.
Ah.
And they stopped making live games because they were ass. So.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. No, throw another sports reference in there because then everybody fucking cares and gives a shit about sports games and my opinion of them.
Right.
All
the
right.
Last one that I'll say.
Oh, you have one more. You got all three. One. You thought about this.
Well, a little bit.
You hate a lot of stuff, though.
The other one, and this is more of, it's not 100% what Josh lined out here, but it is another regret. And it's partially a bit of anger toward the developer and maybe the community for not embracing the goddamn thing, which was Bullets and Blues.
Right? Yeah.
So this game had a lot of promise. It was like this alternate 1950s black and white with spot color noir telltale episodic detective game that seemed really cool. Had a nice soundtrack. I mean, it was technically passable. It looked good. And it was like this alternate, like Untouchables universe, right? You were playing Elliot Ness.
Oh, Elliot Nessy.
And like you had like fucking, what's his ass? The gangster, the mobster, the big one that got caught with the taxes. What's his name?
Capone.
Like Al Capone. He had like this giant Zeppelin that he lived in. And it was a really cool idea.
I loved it. And you got to like, the story was in words and the words were part of like the cover.
Right. And they're like, you know, like you're walking down this rainy street and the words would just drop in and talk about, I mean, it was Sin City-esque at the same time.
Very Sin City.
It was really cool. And like,
One episode.
That's all we fucking got. And like, I'm not mad at the developer necessarily because like, I'm sure that first episode was simply a lure, a test to see if the community would embrace it. And they didn't. And that pisses me off. I'm not mad at the game.
Mad at the community.
Mad at the community because like they had this cool cult that was kidnapping kids and all this weird shit. And I was like, God damn, this is a cool world. But I'll never get to go back.
So that
leaves me a little bitter, as you can probably hear in my voice.
You do sound bitter, but let's lighten it up. Bill wants to know, do the Boston Dynamics robots worry you at all? And now, have you seen the GIF of these fucking things?
I've seen a lot of these. I've been following these things for years, off and on, and I think in general, no, they don't scare me.
They don't scare you?
Not in the slightest.
Holy shit, dude.
Not in the slightest.
Oh my God.
Because first of all, they're output machines. They only do what they're told to do.
Well, that's what we think. I mean, that's how they always get you, dude.
Who gets me?
But that's the thing. They're output machines. anybody can tell it's output, right?
Not necessarily. Well,
what if it's hacked?
Well, what if
you seen the dog one?
I've seen the dog one. You what kick if you it just, over and all that stuff?
What if someone puts like ##:, go bite dicks, #untag, oh. You know, end colon, I don't know how to program.
Right.
But then the dogs come zipping around chomping at dicks, and they're mechanical dogs. You can't shoot them dead.
Well, yeah.
What are you going to do? What are you going to tase them? Tasers fail 80% of the time. I went on a ride along last night. I know that's a fact.
That's crazy.
So, you know, we're looking at an army of metal dog biting or dick biting dogs.
There might be two of those robots in the world. I don't think we're looking at an army of them.
Hey, you know, we thought that automated vehicles weren't going to be as pervasive as they are. Waymo just signed on 100 more. No, more than that. Like 6,000. As many as there are taxis in New York, Waymo's going to release these automated vehicles. Scares the shit out of me. You could hack those too. You could say, hey, go run into people everywhere.
We're talking about Boston Dynamics robots.
I know. I'm just saying.
I've seen the ones that are bipedal that, like, you know, mm-hmm. climb shit and stand up.
Any day now.
I've seen
your
like
dick.
The one that holds the door open for people.
Hold the door open. When you get through, bite your dick.
Right. I don't know why you have this dick biting fear.
I don't like the jowls on them. They're very metallic. And okay. I feel like they can, I mean, you know, a human mandible. Like
somewhat soft,
400 pounds of pressure. I think a metal one with no like soft tissue, bones or ligaments. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a squished penis.
Boy,
I think about these things.
You're very worried.
I don't want them to be anywhere.
No, I'm very excited about those for multitude of purposes. Like imagine like military application. Imagine like if like if you have a like one of these dogs, they can basically be a pack mule. Like if you go for a hike, you just throw all your gear on this shit. It won't fall over. It'll walk in the mud in the rain. It doesn't give a shit. And it'll carry all your shit for you. How awesome is that?
Yeah, and get you alone in the mountains and fucks the shit out of you. Do you want that?
What else do you go to the mountains? Unless it is to get fucked.
Well, maybe. Or to enjoy the scenery without being fucked by a metal dog.
Well, you know.
I think
it tomato, tomato.
Whatever.
I am not scared in the slightest of these things. I have zero technophobia.
I think our days are numbered. And Black Mirror's onto something.
Okay.
All right. So what do we want out of E3?
This is E3 question. So E3, right around the corner. It's this coming weekend, right? It's big deal. Lots of press conferences lined up. Lots of games going to be revealed. Lots of updates on the games that were revealed, I mean, eons ago. So what we're going to do this time, we're not going to belabor this too much. There's a shit ton of press conferences. You got EA, Ubisoft, Nintendo, Square Enix, Microsoft, Sony. A lot of them. Bethesda, a lot of them. It's way too many to detail in each one.
It's actually six. I don't know if it's too many, but it's six.
We could do a whole episode on each.
And Devolver, seven.
There's Devolver. So, like, there's a lot. So instead of, like, unpacking each of these, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to have a wish list and predictions.
Yeah, and let's do predictions first and then wish list.
We'll do predictions first. So this is, we just, five predictions. We don't really have any like scale or category of likelihood or like how outlandish these predictions are. They're just predictions.
Oh yeah, and you know you've probably been beaten to death by them, and you have your own, and ours don't matter. But we're
don't matter. But we're talking about them because we have a goddamn podcast. We do what we want.
Goddamn podcast.
So to begin with, I will start off my prediction list. We're gonna have five each. Number one, I think Sony's going to drop something really cool at the end of their press conference.
I think that's not a bold statement.
I don't think it's bold at all.
But it is a prediction.
But there's some, it is a prediction, and it is, you know, it may not happen because they have already stated ahead of time they're going to focus on their big four games, which I'm trying to remember all of them right now. I guess it's the Shadow of, I don't know, that Japanese feudal game, which I can't pronounce probably. I talked about it last time. Last of Us 2, Spider-Man, and that other one. What's the other one?
I don't know, man.
Okay.
They're going to the dude's game.
You know, Days Gone.
Yeah.
So
why can't we neither of us can remember anything right now.
It's crazy.
His name is Kojima. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, yeah. It's not Days Gone. It's Death Stranding.
Yeah, Days Gone is the Xbox thing.
No, Days Gone is the
Microsoft
PlayStation thing.
Isn't PlayStation?
Yeah, it's the biker zombie game.
Everybody's got a zombie game, baby. I don't care.
Truth.
Everybody's got one.
But anyway, so they've already stated they're going to focus on these four games pretty much exclusively during their press conference. But I do think at the end there will be, Sean Layden's going to come out and be like, all right, and before we go, we got one more thing for you.
A lot of lip smacking.
He's going to try to be dressed that's somewhat relatable.
Yeah.
But he's still going to look aloof. He's still going to look someone who doesn't necessarily fit in. You're not going to see him at a drive-thru.
Yeah. It's a lot of, lifestyles of the rich and famous vibe.
Right. He also, and I brought this up before, he looks like Angus McFadden, who played Robert the Bruce in Braveheart.
You have brought that up, yeah.
He's going to look like, he's and you're look not like wrong. That a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to come out in maybe jeans, sneakers that he just bought, and some ill-fitting sports shirt that has a PlayStation logo on it. But anyway, at the end of the press conference...
But I get excited when I see him. I'm not going to lie.
I do too now. I miss Andy House, though.
I miss Andy House more than anything. I miss Jack Trenton. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Anyway, at the end, there will be... the screen will go dark, and we'll see a logo of a developer that we didn't expect to see. Whether it's From Software and their new title, who knows?
That'd be the big one. Yeah.
So, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I think there'll be something.
I agree with you, and I think at the very end they'll just release a pack of metal dogs, and everybody in the audience will have their dicks bitten off, and that'll be
Sean
really
Lane's
cool.
Just standing on the stage, holding the microphone, screaming. Boston Dynamics, bitch.
Yeah, that'll be the logo that pops up on screen.
I love it.
For me, I think, now this is bold.
Okay.
And this also could be, this could be one of two things. We'll either see a Crackdown 3 release date or a Crackdown 3 cancellation date.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. They won't cancel during E3. That'd be stupid. But right. we'll absolutely...
we'll get something firm.
See something. Yeah. We have to, right? Like, haven't canceled it yet...
Well, I mean, I did bring up earlier that Amazon canceled all the fucking pre-orders.
You did bring that up, yeah.
But apparently it was a mistake. I'm throwing air quotes around that, generously air quotes.
But there would be, before E3, dragging this out for this long, mm-hmm. if it were not going to exist, they would have said so by now, right?
Probably.
And if there, I mean, it's one of the, honestly, one of the few Microsoft properties that's kind of, we know that's cooking right now. Like,
right. I mean, unless they have that to show Walmart something. Canadian E3 leak is anything to go by, which is a new Halo and a new Gears.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
We're pretty sure those are coming. Here's the thing, though, with Crackdown. So when you think about
Microsoft. You
about
to be mean? Because I still care.
It's not mean. It's hopeful. So you think about Microsoft exclusives, you think, one, what are the three big exclusives that they're going to have this year that we know of? Sea of Thieves, State of Decay 2, and Crackdown 3. Now, the first two have already kind of floundered.
Like you'd say floundered. Okay.
So they have made no splash.
I mean, when you compare it to the Sony splashes of the cannonball dive.
Exactly.
A lot of big splashes
there. The high swan dive off the tallest fucking diving board. So, like... they've got to make this work. So if there is trouble in Paradise with Crackdown 3, they're not going to say a word about it.
It's true.
They dare not for the sake of their stakeholders.
Yeah. No, you got a good point. What's your other prediction?
Next prediction is one about Nintendo. And so we got the reveal that Smash Bros. Is coming to Switch. We still, I guess, are somewhat unclear whether this is a remaster / remake of the one for Wii U or if it's an entirely new title. Personally, I can't imagine it's an entirely new title. I think it'll be the Wii U version just adapted to Switch with all the content and maybe a couple extra characters what's his ass from Dark Souls.
Or the more they're just more accurately titled it, the Smash Siblings.
Smash Siblings, right. Because why wouldn't they? Either way, I think the game will be confirmed as a 2018 release date. With a 2018 release date.
I mean, yeah, I agree with that.
I don't think they're going to drag it out any longer.
I don't have neither a Boston Dynamics dog joke nor a Horchacho joke to tag to that, so I'm going to move on to Perfect Dark 2.
Oh. Wow. Perfect Dark 2.
Yeah.
Now, this is something I haven't even thought about.
Really? Even though it's been on the sheet for a good 45 minutes to an hour?
I'm trying not to look at your shit.
Oh, okay.
So that would be interesting because last, I guess, two Perfect Dark games and all the Perfect Dark games have been Rare.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think that Microsoft would hand this franchise off to someone else because Rare's busy with Sea of Thieves?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know, but got to have something in there, right?
Yeah.
It's a prediction. It's fun.
I like it. It's fun.
Kind of feeling it.
I would like to see that, frankly.
Maybe just a logo, no date, hey, we're working on it.
We're just like here.
Maybe
like
part of a sizzle reel where we don't even know what the game is. We just, people guess. They're like, was that a Perfect Dark?
No. Here's how it would go.
Was that Perfect Dark?
Screen goes black.
Mm-hmm.
You hear gunshots. You hear sirens. The ambient sounds of a city. Then you hear radio
Division
transmissions.
Oh, okay.
And then it's just some unidentified voice saying, Joanna, Joanna, are you there?
A lot of Joanna, yeah.
And then
boom.
You get a boom like 2020 or in development or something like that. That's how that reveal will go.
That's the best way to do it. Don't show anything.
Yeah, don't show anything. Just
God,
give me audio.
Don't show anything.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, I got a question. So I was really busy the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
And I saw a thing. It said something about Fallout 76.
Right.
And I know, like, I was really busy. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't talk to you much. And
right.
Did I miss Fallout 5 through 75?
No.
Those didn't happen. Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
If you're lying to me right now, tell me what your favorite Fallout between that was and what was it about?
I can't, because I'm sure.
Okay. It wasn't. Okay.
Okay.
I was just checking.
Fallout 76.
Okay. What was your other prediction?
Next prediction is that there still will not be a release date for Final Fantasy VII Remake from Square Enix, but there will be one for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
That's kind of a dual prediction.
It is a dual prediction. That's almost two predictions.
But I think that those two were kind of locked in my brain, you know, because those are the two games that people want from Square Enix more than they want the next edition of Final Fantasy 15. Like, how many are those are there going to be? So I think that we'll probably either not see an update or see an update, but no final date on Final Fantasy VII Remake. But we will get one for sure from Kingdom Hearts 3.
I think we might get an Episode 1 release date.
You think so?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, why not?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I definitely
because
wouldn't be
it's episodic. I could see something coming soon, and then the rest of it being later.
If it
later.
Still is episodic,
that's true. We haven't heard that.
We haven't heard it. Shit.
Over a year since that update,
at least.
Last of Us 2 release date. I think that's def, because that's going to be one of the games they focus on, right?
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an easy prediction. So I can't even go wrong.
You can't go wrong. Do you think it'll be 2018? Let me nail you.
I think it'll be a March 2019.
March 2019.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's when they release their hotties, man. That's when
true.
They drop the hot plops. Boom. Right there in March.
March or April.
Yeah.
Boom. Knock and plop. All right. So Assassin's Creed Odyssey will be a 2018 title. I think they took 1 year off. I don't think they're going to take another year off.
When did Origins release?
It released last fall.
Was it like November?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ish. October, yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost disappointing. I mean, it's great. It's always great to have games. And yeah. It's always great when big developers make big games that everybody wants. Assassin's Creed is going to sell. They're going to sell.
Yeah.
But I still think, spread them out.
You're still fatigued?
I'm not fatigued. I think they should be spread out. They're every year that they make one, it becomes less special of a franchise to me. It slowly turns into this thing that's easily forgotten and overlooked and just expected and taken for granted and means less and becomes
trite.
And even the game itself, I mean, it's... You saw what happened to that. I mean, the whole reason they took a year off to begin with was because it got stale.
Yeah.
And it stands to, you know, they could do that again.
Here's the thing, though. The setting, which is pretty much already been confirmed for Assassin's Creed Odyssey, is Greece, specifically ancient Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I personally love this because I really think they did a great job in Origins of taking the mythology and specifically the, you know, theological mythology of ancient Egypt and incorporating it in creative ways with the Assassin's Creed storyline, but also improving pretty much every part, the combat, the traversal, etc., mission structure. So if they can do that again, but do it in ancient Greece and still incorporate that mythology, you know, with, you know, Mount Olympus and all that shit, I would be very happy with that.
Yeah.
I really would, because I'm kind of a sucker for that in general, as you know.
I guess selfishly, I'm just so behind on Assassin's Creed games, I just stop for a minute and let me catch up. But I'm not going to catch up anytime
soon.
You're
not going to catch up. Yeah. You still haven't played Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah, and at this point, I may not.
That's fair.
I kind of got my fill with of sea boating around on the old Sea of Thieves.
It's not quite the same.
I understand that.
But yeah.
I understand that. Well, there's also the old kind of rip-off pirate game that's coming from
Skull
Sony,
Bones?
Right?
Oh, well, it's Ubisoft, actually.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones.
Yeah. Okay. Something Crash related. I think that think Sony might do. I think test the waters a little bit with the remake or the whatever you want to call that, the remaster, mm-hmm. the old Crash.
Bringing it back.
Bringing it on back
mm-hmm.
thing. I think that was a bit of a test the waters. I think it went well.
Yeah.
It was I think it might have topped the charts there for a little bit in terms of sales
did.
For a little bit. I think that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
And I think maybe they, I don't think it's coming like this year, but I think we might see something like, hey, we got something coming. And I could see Crash, you know, any iteration of Crash from now on, if they, you know, still keep it cartoony, still keep it simple, almost like a Super Lucky, but with Crash.
Sure.
$30 games. It doesn't have to be a big $60 whole fair. You know,
sure.
The fans will buy it. Look at the Sonic.
Yeah.
What do they call it? What do they call that shit?
Yeah.
The whatever the the thing that the new Sonic
Sonic Mania
Sonic Mania look at that. I mean, people will buy it. Game, it doesn't have to be a full $60 full fledged first person over the shoulder romp through 70 hour thing. It just make a Crash game,
right?
And we'll, people will fucking buy it. They'll love it.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, the game is about to release on Switch and Xbox too. So, like the original trilogy remaster.
Yeah.
So that mean that would be a good time to cash in on that.
That is a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm loving my prediction more now. Thank you.
No, you're absolutely welcome. Last prediction for me is Below.
Finally.
Still won't have a release date.
Yeah, man, is that game just gone though?
No, it's back. It went away for like years.
Why would it take so long to make a game like that?
So here's what happens. Here's what happens. So initially the game's released, I want to say the first E3 after the Xbox One released. So we're looking 2015, I guess? 2016.
14. Oh, when did it release?
I don't fucking know. No, it would have been 2014. You're right. So initially it was, you know, teased from...
Below announcement trailer, E3 2013.
2013. Holy shit. So... here we go.
That's 2013, a long
5 years ago. So Cappy Games, short for Capybara, which is an adorable creature. They announced the game, and then I think it got a follow-up the next E3. And then around that time was this huge amount of dissatisfaction with the outcome of these games. There was a lot of dissatisfaction with the Assassin's Creed game. A lot of games weren't meeting expectations. Now, granted, you know, this is a much smaller game and a much different game than those. But I remember because, you know, I follow Cappy Games and I was excited about this game to see when it was going to release. And the update that they gave was like, look, we're not going to release this until it's ready. We want to make sure it's right. We'll be back at some point. And they basically went radio silent for a long time. And then, you know, earlier this year, they came back and were like, we'll be there. So I do not think we're going to get a release date for this game. I will be shocked if we see a date.
Where would they show this in an E3?
It would be the ID at Xbox Sizzle Reel.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where it would be.
Okay. I think we maybe. Maybe.
You're a maybe on it?
This is more part of my prediction.
Yeah, sure.
I think we maybe might, most definitely probably could see a Bayonetta 3.
Ooh. Well, yeah. I mean,
it feels about right?
Yeah, it feels right. I mean, they've already announced that it is happening. So... who knows?
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, right. They didn't announce it would be at E3, but they announced it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we might see a little bit.
Gameplay?
Yeah, and, you know, I think it, you know, the Sega-Nintendo relationship, obviously, this could be one of the... I don't think Bayonetta's quite on the level of obviously, a lot of the beloved Nintendo franchises, and obviously Sega being is separate from that. I don't know. What I'm saying is I don't think it has the hoopla of a lot of other things that Switch could show.
Sure.
For me, it certainly does. I'd be excited. But I could see that being a big deal announcement if they came out and said...
I almost wonder if it's a system seller. I almost wonder.
Really?
Yeah. Because, you know, Bayonetta 1 and 2... Well, 1 is multi-platform.
Cross-platform, yeah.
And then 2, exclusively Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
3, I think, is exclusive to Switch.
Maybe.
I think. So, like, I think it has the potential to sell systems. Is the only point I'm trying to make. I think it kind of fills that void on the Nintendo platform where you want that whimsical Japanese action game where, you know, you just don't have those. So,
yeah, are you able to get 1 and 2 on the Switch in any capacity? I guess
you can.
You can.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right. Cool. All right, that does it for my my predictions.
Okay.
And that does it for your predictions. So let's move it to the wish list. Those are things that were like, hey, it's not like you put money on it, but like you feel pretty damn good if you're right, you know? You'd be like, see, I told you.
Right.
That's an I told you so list.
Like this is like me waiting by the television during the press conference with bated breath, hoping that they say what I want them to say.
Well, I mean, would you hope that they would say Below won't have a release date?
No. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was predictions. I was talking about what we're moving on to.
For this, a little more than beta bread. This is, my wish list is like if they say it,
right.
I will shit fart hot semen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll be excited.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, I'll be rowdy.
That's biologically impressive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I will have to break something in my body to produce the amount of visible excitement.
Yeah.
So other people around me be like, wow, he must be excited and he needs a doctor.
Shit.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Okay.
So this is our wish list. This is what we absolutely have no basis to
I wrote mine in all caps.
Right.
That's how excited caps, yeah. I was thinking about them. Yes.
I just wrote some shit down. So I'll go first. As usual, I want the next Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Mainline Elder Scrolls. Not that online bullshit and not that card game bullshit. I want the next full-fledged Elder Scrolls game. Now, Brian, our good friend Briz, at Hokey Briz on Twitter, had the shower thought, so he says, hashtagged it anyway, that the reason that Bethesda decided to go ahead and announce or tease Fallout 76
along with Rage 2,
which they basically confirmed, is that they want these to have their day in the sun before whatever they announce at their presser gets all the limelight. Now, what could do that?
Of course.
Not Dishonored 3.
I don't think Brian's far off on that. I think it's
shrewd if they did that. It's definitely shrewd. It's smart. Savvy. Oh,
yeah. I mean, Bethesda's done a lot of smart things.
Yeah. There was no reason, I mean, aside from generating hype, to announce Fallout 76 early. Could you imagine the hype if they actually announced it during the presser?
Absolutely. They've done before.
Much higher.
Like, think about Fallout 4. Think about that time. That time we had. Of course, the difference, you're right still, but the difference being, for Fallout 4, a lot of people expected it. There were some really small leaks, and people were kind of like...
There were some interesting telltale signs, like Redbox stocked up on Fallout 3 rentals.
Right.
Like, everyone's like, oh, what does that mean?
Right, and so...
That was impressive.
I think the thing that we left that press conference like crazy over was the release date. We're like, oh, shit, and it's coming fucking soon, and we get Fallout Shelter. Like, they just kept dropping shit on us, which was great.
Right.
And they held all that for that conference. They're like, all right, so we won't... People kind of know we're going to talk about Fallout 4, but we have all these other things that we can drop with it. That's great. So the reason I think Brian might be onto something was that there was no teaser, no leak, nothing about this Fallout game.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's kind of like, this is all we've got for that, you know?
Right. Here it is.
And then the press conference is going to be something else. It's a little bit, I don't want to be too optimistic about it.
Correct. I don't either. I think it would be really smart if they did that, but I would also...
Might just get Dishonored 3, and we'll be like, God damn, okay.
Right. Or Doom 2, which I would be really happy
with. I'd actually be pretty happy about that.
I'd be really happy. But either way, like, it kind of makes sense if they want to, you know, say, hey, more information, like kind of like they did at the press conference, here's Fallout 76, to get some attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what else they have.
Yeah, who knows?
Because maybe after last year's abysmal showing... They're like, we need to drum up some hype.
See, I didn't think I guess I expected last year's show to lack a lot of heavy hitters, so I wasn't as disappointed.
I was disappointed because they made me stay up so late for a 45-minute video.
That was the shit fuck of it, was that I was up.
It's just like, I could watch this on YouTube at any point.
On a work
night.
You
did not need to be live for this.
God, we got Eastern time zoned again. That's what you call that.
We got EST'd.
Yes. Sure. My wish list, number one on my wish list, actually, I'm gonna save that one for last.
Okay, save it for last.
I'm going to save my favorite one for last. Telltale Stranger Things, how fucking cool would that be, though?
That would be the
Does it feel kind of like a right thing? Doesn't it feel kind of like natural, though?
It seems very right.
Yeah.
It seems like a place ripe for it.
Wouldn't that be cool? Dude.
It would be the best.
I'd be ecstatic. I don't even know how it would work, honestly.
I'm not sure either, but I think it's a universe that is ripe with...
They've done it with other shows.
Mystery,
they've done it with the Game of Thrones. They obviously did it with The Walking Dead, although with a subset of the cast.
It could be
the Stranger Things and just borrow a character and you know do
maybe
something
bring
different.
Max from wherever she came from to wherever they are.
Like a lead into Max or something. Like, they could do any number of things. Obviously, I'd love it.
Yeah, it's
I love the world,
cast.
And I want another access to it other than the show. I want to be in there a little bit. That. Yeah. Yep.
Very nice. My next wish list, is a new AAA title from Microsoft. And by new, I mean completely, we don't know what it is. It's not a franchise. It's not linked to another franchise. Mm-hmm. It's a brand new, pristine, shiny, glossy, not satin, game or franchise from Microsoft. Like, they had their chance so many times with these games that just either got canceled or flopped. And I really want them to come out and say, here's, you know, where we're, you know, planting our stake in the ground or whatever. You know, we're saying this is who we are now. Because they really don't have anything. You know, they've got the Halo, they got Gears, they got Forza.
They don't have a lot to pull from.
That's it. And that's all they're doing.
And that's kind of the problem, really.
That's the biggest problem.
You look at Sony, they can pull from anything. I mean, One idea that I have is just get a good license. You know, do something. I mean, an original idea is great. You know, you look at people scoffed at Scalebound. Obviously, it wasn't a perfect game, but at least it was a new IP idea they were sinking a lot of money into, and I'm sure it had promise. It would have sold. You look at Sony, who can, you know, they got Kojima in their pocket. They obviously have this long-standing God of War series. They're able to get Spider-Man. I mean, Spider-Man's going to sell if it's an Xbox exclusive or a PS4 exclusive. It's fucking Spider-Man.
Right.
Get a Marvel license. Yeah. Do something.
Sure. Well, like, here's the thing. When you look at, the, you know, and not to, like, whack off the Sony cock for terribly long.
Well.
I'm going to say that out loud.
Well, you did. Who said worse?
I've said
worse. I don't know why we're skirting around.
I don't either.
Like, who do we think we're sending this out to?
I don't know.
I want to bring this up right now, actually. This has been bothering me. For 68 episodes, we've just been tiptoeing around bullshit. Like our bosses are going to fucking hear these. I don't give a fuck or a shit or a fuck. We can say whatever. It's our podcast. We don't get... Nobody listens to this fucking shit. We can say whatever we want. So, you're going to whack off Sony's cock?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
So like, they have series, you know, obviously the Souls series started with them, with Demon Souls. They've got Bloodborne. They've got Neo, which is still kind of in that lineage, but obviously a different developer. They've got Spider-Man. They've got God of War. They've got Uncharted. They've got the Yakuza series. So, like, they've got all these different, very different kind of games in their back pocket at any given point. And
yeah.
I'm sure there's tons of them in development right now. Persona, right. I mean, that's another PlayStation exclusive, even though they dabble in portable Nintendo stuff. Horizon, that's another new one. So, like, they've got all these options, and they're all very different and appeal to a wide variety of things, where Microsoft doubles down on the, quote, core gamer, which is, Halo, Gears.
A lot of multiplayer stuff.
A lot of multiplayer stuff.
It's smart. I mean, the Game Pass idea is really good for a lot of that stuff. They've built their framework. The thing is, they just don't have...
Right. There's not a lot there that you can't get somewhere else, or you probably already don't have or played.
And honestly, from my perspective, at least in terms of somebody who's been following it for, you know, not as intensively as everybody for years, let's say the last 8 years I've been following it pretty good. Okay.
Yeah.
My idea of the way these two companies operate is that if Sony shows me something good, I immediately think it's going to be great.
Okay.
No matter what. They just tried out a logo and a guy talking about it. I'm like, that's probably going to be a really good game.
And then even bring up Last of Us.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, that's probably going to be a fucking great game.
You see the Naughty Dog logo, you're happy.
But no matter what Microsoft shows me, I'm skeptical.
No, I 100% agree.
A sizzle reel of 56 games, every single one of them, I'm like, constantly, like, ooh, I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know.
And like, if they show me something for longer than like 2 minutes, it's something that I know that they're proud of, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know, yeah. Microsoft. I don't know if you should do this. We're Sony, and I'm like, that's probably going to fucking kill. That looks great.
And to come to Microsoft's defense, they have landed a couple of pretty interesting games in recent memory, chief of which is Cuphead. Like, this is something that they landed, which is, you know, exclusive to their platforms. I know it's on PC as well, but that's Microsoft, so it's the same thing. So I think that's, but the problem is it's not going to sell systems.
No.
And that's going to appeal to a very much narrower margin of gamer. So, like, their, you know, support of this kind of game and their investment in this kind of game is admirable. But the problem is, like, they're doubling down on, you know, I don't know what their plan is.
You need,
like,
to multiply every good idea you have at Microsoft by five to achieve Sony.
Because like I said, I mean, all the stuff that Sony's doing, and once again, whacking off that Sony cock.
Whack it.
They're a little underpowered in hardware. Their online system is not quite as robust, even though it's much more reliable and safer, hopefully, than it was in the past. They still manage to just churn out great games and great franchises and have so much stuff in the pipeline that... Like every year when it comes to the C3 stuff, you're just excited because you know what you're going to see. And at the same time, Microsoft is offering these services, which backward compatibility, Game Pass, Xbox Live, Games with Gold stuff. But Sony just keeps like, nah, we're going to make another Last of Us. Now we're going to make another Yakuza. Nah, let's throw in some Spider-Man. You guys want some Horizon Zero Dawn? Would you like some Last of Us Part 2? You want God of War, probably the highest rated Metacritic game of all time, maybe.
I think that's, like, the difference between the two companies, whereas Sony's biggest decision making is where to throw their money, whereas Microsoft is figuring out how to make it. Like, they're just like, what can we do with what? And Sony doesn't have to think that hard anymore. They're just like, okay, you're up next. They just pull off the bench.
Right. I think it's probably hard for them to determine who gets the spotlight.
Yeah. True. They're in a really good position. That's what we're saying.
Really?
And so you're basically just, your wish list is just, please, Microsoft, have one good idea.
One good idea. You know, give me something unique. Give me something that I will care about, but also not just, you know, beating off the nostalgia. Give me something new that's interesting and cool, which, you know, please.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's move this along. Other wish list. EA, they straighten themselves out. They have a come to Jesus. They come out. They apologize for everything they've ever done.
I don't think it's gonna happen. That's a great wish, though.
Hey, everybody in a suit with a fancy accent comes out there. They all come together. They hold hands. They say, "Please forgive us, Sports, TV Sports." And then they bring out
Don Matrick.
No, fuck that guy. Oh yes, that'd be great. So everybody takes turns just fucking roundhouse and Don Matrick.
just straight up Patrick Swayze in him.
Goddamn, I'm so hard right now. And then actually, you changed my wish list. So they take rounds on his fucking face. No, I'm kidding. So, and then they bring out the whole Maxis team, and they show off SimCity 5, and
ooh.
I pass out.
Oh.
Yeah.
From just blood rushing right to your dick.
From your head. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll leave it there. It. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A blood rush to the head.
Yeah.
I just pass out.
So, while we're on,
I don't even see the end of it. I have to wait a week. I have to watch it on YouTube, see how it ended.
Why you have to wait a whole week? You're out for a week.
Yeah, coma. Yeah, it was... Dude, a lot of blood loss.
Holy shit.
Yeah, big head.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I get it. I have a massive head.
Yeah, yeah. No, that would excite me a lot. Now, this is obviously a wish list that I know is not going to happen because it's largely defunct. But if EA would embrace, and just maybe a general wish list, a lot of those franchises that they've killed that we know that we hate them for, they maybe could get some fanfare in the right direction if they were able to reassemble or do something to bring back something that they've killed, revive something...
Yeah,
that they've put in the closet.
Give me a new Jade Empire. I don't know.
How cool would that be? I know it's unlikely, but would that help them a little bit to show that, like, hey, like, we killed this.
Right. Sorry. We're reviving it.
Yeah.
We're Frankensteining it. I don't know. Like, I think what EA is going to do is focus on two things. One, which is Battlefield 5, or V specifically, because V for Victory, V Day, all that stuff. And I think the other thing that they're going to focus on is Anthem. You know, I think that's going to be their big focus.
If you could go at Don Matrick, how, like, where would you hit him?
I think it have to be the nose.
You think no? It's a lot of nose. I just feel like that's easy. I kind of want to get him like part of the neck and ear, just to see his face.
Wow.
See him react.
Wow.
I really don't like that guy.
I know. I feel like not to just be overly critical of this man,
or just outwardly violent towards someone you don't really know.
Right, exactly.
Kind of like I'm being right now. Like, right. I really want to hurt him, but I shouldn't.
The thing is, he never looked like he quite belonged on stage at a Microsoft presentation. It looks like he wore... EA. Well,
oh, it's a dumb. Yeah.
Yeah, it just always looked like he was wearing his I have a court date suit rather than I belong in this suit. I don't know.
Well, you know, and it's just that he's a businessman, right? Like,
right, not a gamer.
A businessman, you know, doing the game thing. And it's really not his fault for trying to make money. But
no.
He's just not, you know, E3 is, it's somewhat of a performance. It's theatrical. Sean Layton, like, barely got it at first.
Yeah, he's getting it, though.
Matrick never got it.
All right, so my final prediction is that we will get a release date. And I'm going to slightly change that and maybe say release window for Metroid Prime 4.
You think so?
I think we will, because the reason why...
Yeah, they'll say,
I
like, that, early 20-something shit.
Right. The reason I think that is because they've already said, with the Game Freak / Pokemon company, has already said, hey, the full-fledged Pokemon games will be out by the end of 2019. So that's already out of the way.
Right.
So I think they can say that, hey, Metroid Prime 4, 2019 or 2020 or something like that. I think we'll get a window.
Okay.
I hope we'll get a window.
Let's say it's 2012 and you're hiding behind the curtain. What melee weapon do you come at Don Matrick with?
2012, and I'm hiding behind... I'm going to go with probably just a bow staff.
I'm thinking... Here's something for me.
Okay.
It's a weapon that you don't see in a lot of games as a melee weapon. The hoe.
Oh.
Where's the hoe been?
Where has the hoe been?
Hit that guy with a hoe.
Oh,
not
shit.
Not the sharp end.
No,
don't
no,
kill
just,
him.
Just the handle.
You hit him with the handle, but you're still holding the hoe.
Right.
And it's funny, you know, headlines are saying, Don Matrick hit with a hoe.
With hoe, yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
Either way, you're attacked with the hoe. Is somebody going to say hoe handle?
No,
you're the clicks are coming from the hoe.
Yeah,
you know what
absolutely.
I'm saying. All right, so my other
they always do.
No, yours was great, and I agree with yours. And yours is a wish list, but I think it's almost a prediction. I think there's a high likelihood that we'll get that. Yeah,
I really want one.
I think showing that logo last year almost obligates them to show us something this year, or else everyone's going to be dissatisfied with what Nintendo shows. If we're like, where was the Metroid is? Where is the Metroid? That's what I'm going to say.
Right. I want.
When I get angry, I go straight Mountain Dung.
Right.
I can't even make sense.
You start just closing off the back of your throat and breathing through it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll be mad about me. Where my Metroid is?
What's your final wish list?
My final one. And this is going to close out the show here in an hour and 46 minutes.
No, not quite.
Really?
No.
Okay. is one that's obvious and not going to happen.
Right.
But you want it real bad. But I think in all likelihood of my three, maybe the most likely.
The least likely. Okay.
No, I think it's actually the most likely. I think the other two were just like dreams.
It's still not likely, but it's far more likely than the other two.
This is something that could actually exist, I think.
Okay.
It won't, but it could. And that's Dark Cloud 3! The third Dark Cloud game of the Dark Cloud series.
You want that real bad.
Dude, I want it so bad. I want it so bad that I don't even know if I want it anymore. I've just wanted it so long.
Right,
That it's me that wants it.
Mm.
It kind of defines me. But I would play the shit out of it.
Yeah, I would play it.
Even if I hated it, I'd love it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I want it so much. So much vindication.
Yeah.
They could just release like a hot bag of baboon shit and be like, this is Dark Cloud 3.
You had me a hot bag because that's disgusting as it is.
They just release a hot bag. Just a steamy bag.
Just a hot bag.
Yeah, you don't know what's in there.
You don't.
I would just take the contents, rub it on my face and be like, this Dark Cloud 3 is pretty good.
Let's do it.
It's pretty much what I expect.
Shit.
Yeah. No, seriously though, I would, I'd be elated, but
yeah,
won't happen.
No.
I thought some of the, they've been putting it on the PS4 and that kind of thing.
Right.
Was kind of a
market
validation. Hey, what's up? How's it going? Mm. What's up? Hey, is it Dark Cloud? Y'all remember? Y'all remember this? Dark Cloud? But then nothing came of it. So.
Right. Nothing did.
Yeah.
God damn it.
So that's it. All right. So that pretty much does episode 68.
Yeah.
Once again, we'd like to thank everyone who submitted a question.
Of course.
It might be something we do more regularly. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I enjoy it.
Obviously, you'll have your chance to submit questions during the live episode.
Right.
But we'll be recapping E3 in that live
for
69.
It's going to be wild.
It might be long.
It might be just an all-nighter.
Yeah, it might be long. But please show up. You know, a lot of people, it looks like early statistics are pointing toward the Thursday.
Okay.
But again, we'll find out who wins, and we'll go from there. So we'll be doing live for 69 at some point. We'll announce that on our Twitter, and you can follow us at Polykill. I'm at Trav Plays Games.
I'm at the McAxel.
And we'll see you live at 69.
Wait, hey. Peace.